Hey man, that was beautiful. I'm terrible at singing, so sometimes I just be quiet and listen to you guys, and that was you're welcome. That was great. That was beautiful. All right. I know it's after potluck and everybody's tired and the tryptophan is kicking in, so I will be as quick as I can, but I want to thank Pastor again. He's not here, but for giving me the opportunity to just come up here and share with you guys what I've been thinking about lately. So you'll get a little peek into the mind of Mike today. So beware. I want to talk about something that I'm really interested in. One of my favorite subjects. We'll just kind of flow with it. So let's pray first, and then we'll get started. Lord, I thank you so much for this afternoon. God, thank you for the opportunity to open your word, to stand here in front of these believers, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you don't let me mess it up, Lord, that everything that's said is to honor and please you. Lord, that we're not doing anything here to be men pleasers, but God, that you get the glory from everything that's said and done. We love you, we thank you, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's weapons. I'm a weapons guy. I like weapons. If any of you guys know me, I'm maybe an amateur collector of weapons, right? My wife will atone to that. We had a deal once that I was just going to buy one gun a year, and that didn't last very long. So I've been thinking about weapons, and I've been thinking, why are they so intriguing, right? Like, why is it so interesting to me? And I think the reason is that weapons, you can stop a threat from any distance, right? You have close, near, far, any distance you can stop a threat. It has a unique ability. With the advancement of weapons, we don't have to wait for a threat to get close, right? You don't have to be in danger. You can stop this threat from a long distance. I mean, we have weapons now that we can engage targets we can't even see, right? It started out with the sword way back. The sword was the main weapon, and if you wanted a long distance weapon, you had to make a longer sword, right? And you got another couple feet. Then we moved on to slings and spears and projectile weapons, bow and arrow. Some of the earliest Chinese bows could reach out to 400 yards, right? Pretty amazing. And then, praise the Lord, gunpowder was invented, and we moved on, right? The early Sharps rifles, people were hitting man-sized targets at 1,000 yards with open sights. I mean, that put a lot of distance between you and the enemy. You know what I'm saying? And now we have competitions that are like the king of 2 mile. People are shooting 2 mile targets consistently with modern day rifles. I believe the longest world record shot was over 4 miles, 7,400 something yards. That's a safe distance to engage a target. That gives you opportunity to not be put in harm's way, right? So I kind of want to talk today about some weapons that the Lord's given us to keep ourselves safe, to keep out of harm's way. So if you got your Bible, let's open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse number 3. Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Paul didn't say in here, if you decide to engage in this war, it's pretty much implied that we are at war. Would you agree? It says, "Our warfare, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." We're in this war, And this war isn't a physical war. This isn't an emotional war. This isn't a political war. This is a spiritual war that we're engaged in. It's spiritual, and you need spiritual weapons to fight in this war. You know, you can't fight depression with a carnal weapon, right? I know it's a touchy subject, but depression's a spiritual condition. Yeah. And I get it. I understand it's real. I've been there. But it's a spiritual condition. They'll give you things to ease the... What word am I looking? Symptoms. Thank you, Dan. You always have words. To ease the symptoms, right? But the condition is spiritual. Same with addiction. You can't fight addiction with physical weapons. That's a spiritual problem. It'll manifest physical symptoms, but it's a spiritual issue. I mean, I know some of you guys know my past, and I'm not going to get into my old dirty laundry, but I can attest it's a spiritual problem, right? Bitterness. You can't dig out the root of bitterness with carnal weapons. That's a spiritual problem. And these are just a few, right? These are just a few of the problems that we go through. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These are just a few strongholds that can spring up in our life. Paul says, to the pulling down of strongholds. So what's a stronghold? It's a fortified area where the enemy has taken ground, right? It's a sin that you're stuck in. It's a fear that maybe controls you. It's a lie that you believe. It's a bitterness or resentment towards somebody or towards God. These are all strongholds that the enemy has set up, right? And God's given us weapons to engage these threats before they even get close, before they get close enough to cause us harm. We have weapons that we can engage with. The first one is probably real simple, but it's effective. And honestly, it's underutilized, probably by most Christians. I mean, it gets preached all the time, but prayer. I think prayer is one of the biggest weapons that we can use to keep sin at a distance, right? Let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and I'm going to start in verse 38. Yeah, I'm drinking out of a straw, Dan. Don't judge me. It's okay. I know you. That's all right. Matthew 26, 38. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith, Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer can defeat enemies that we can't even see yet. Prayer keeps the door closed to sin. It keeps your heart guarded. It keeps sin at a distance. Prayer cleanses our thoughts before sin can conceive. Psalm 19:14 is David praying. We got time. Let's turn over there real quick. Psalm 19:14. He said, David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David knew that a thought entertained becomes a desire, right? And then a desire becomes a plan, and a plan becomes a sin. David fought this with prayer. He knew this firsthand. He knew that prayer is what was going to keep him, his heart guarded. Does that make sense? Prayer's going to attack those threats before they even get close. Psalm 141, 8 and 9. I know it's not Bible study hour, but the Lord uses better words than I do, so we'll just turn to what he has to say. Psalm 141, 8 says, "But my eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity." Prayer exposes the traps that are set before you. Prayer kind of highlights the snares that the devil has set, right? He's really good at setting snares for each of us. And we each have unique snares that are going to be set. We're not all going to face the same temptations. We're not all going to face the same issues. If you're trying to catch a rabbit, you don't set a coyote snare, right? If the devil's trying to catch a Josh, he's not going to set a Mike snare, right? It doesn't work that way. The devil's real good at setting these snares individually for each person. And prayer opens our eyes to the path that we're supposed to be on. It highlights those snares, those issues that are coming up. When your prayer life is strong and you're in that high tower, you can see the enemy coming. You can see what sin is coming after you. The next one is one that I've been talking about a lot in junior church. This series that we're on right now is thankfulness. And that's kind of how I started looking into this, was thankfulness is a huge weapon that we can use against sin. Greed, pride, lusts, wants, desires, they all stem from being unthankful, from not having the gratitude that we should towards what God has done for us, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, all the young folks in here have memorized it already. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." In everything. And that's not an easy thing to wrap our head around, right? Like, how are we supposed to be thankful for different disasters that happen? And we've been teaching the kids that it's not, God isn't always going to fix the problem, but he's the answer to get you through that problem. Does that make sense? In everything, give thanks. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Pride makes you think that you deserve more than what God has given you. A thankful person realizes that everything's a gift. Everything that we have is a gift. And that's a weapon that we can use to understand that we're not deserving of more, that we shouldn't be seeking more than what God's already given. That's a way to keep you out of a lot of trouble. When you're truly thankful for what Christ has done, it's not so easy to return to the sin that put him on the cross. Thankfulness destroys enemies that have already set up shop and the reinforcements that are on the way. Being thankful. You know, weapons only work if you practice with them.
Right?
Right. There's so many illustrations, I don't even know where to start. I remember out shooting with Dan, right? I thought I knew how to shoot a pistol until I shot with Dan, and I realized I'm terrible at this sport, right? And he pointed out some flaws, but it's practice. Me and Timothy went to the range the other day, and we were shooting long distance. First time I've shot at 300 yards before. And it was like, you know, it takes practice. I went out hunting this year, and I haven't shot anything past 100, so I thought, I'm not going to take a shot at an animal over 100 yards because I haven't practiced, right? So what happens if I see the animal of a lifetime out at 300? I'm going to miss that opportunity because I haven't practiced, right? The weapons are only as effective as how much you practice with them. So if we're going to be practicing thankfulness, we're going to be practicing prayer, then they'll get more effective. Sin grows from discouragement, complaining, bitterness, but thankfulness breaks that chain. It breaks that chain of being discouraged, of being bitter. It shows trust in the provider and not the provision. It replaces lies with truth. It gives a new outlook on life. Paul and Silas were in prison. I don't know how many of you in here have ever been in prison. Most time you're not singing praises to the Lord, right? But Paul and Silas were in chains, in bondage, in prison. And they were singing praises. They were thankful. And the thankfulness broke that chain. Broke that chain of being complicit, being bitter, being broken. Bitterness can't grow when you're grateful. Focusing on God's goodness makes sin lose its appeal, right? Sin is pleasure for a season. And that's true. It is. The Bible says it. But it's for a short season. Be thankful for what you got. Thankfulness will meet these enemies long before they get to you. And the last one, my last one. The last weapon that I think doesn't get used enough. And this is one that we all have, and we've all been given it. And it's readily available. And that's us. It's each other. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'll start with verse number 8. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor? And bereave my soul of good. This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall not withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We're not supposed to fight this battle on our own, guys. This is a fight that we all need to be engaged in. If there's only a couple of us fighting, we're bound to lose. God didn't intend it that way. God chose every person that's here to be here. He chose you to be sitting in here, in this seat, in God's Word Baptist Church. And we're here for a reason. We're here to encourage each other, to bear each other's burdens. I think far too often people come to church and they have to pretend, right? Just say it real. They want to pretend that everything's going okay. They don't want to let other people know that there's issues or they're fighting this fight by themselves, right? The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Some people are knives. They go out and fight and they get dull. Other people are sharpeners. Well, if the knife never gets dull or never admits to being dull, then the sharpener just sits in the drawer, doesn't have a job to do. It's designed that way for a reason. We have brothers and sisters in here that we're designed to help each other. And if we can't admit, like, hey, brother, I'm pretty dull, I could use a little sharpening, then that person's purpose is void. That makes sense? We got people in here that are prayer warriors. We got people in here that have been in the trenches. We got folks in here that are soul winners. We got a platoon of people here. Brothers and sisters that are here to engage in the fight. If you're trying to fight this enemy by yourself, it's a mistake. You're not utilizing one of the most effective weapons God's given you. And that's us. God's called us to fight this fight together, to be unified, to be on the same team. And we can't help each other if we come in every day and pretend that everything's okay. I would much rather hear something real from somebody than when you ask, hey, how are you doing? Oh, it's great. Everything's great. So if that's the case, man, you guys are doing wonderful. Because I know every day that I come in, it ain't great, right? But we got to be able to tell each other. We got to be able to open up. Let other people help you in this thing. Because God didn't intend us to do this by ourselves. God gave us this church. God gave us each other. So let's practice with the weapons that God gave us. Amen. Would you pray, Dan?